Okay, we're back in session. I believe Peter was next, but I don't... Oh, there he is.
Madam Chair.
Legislator Stein.
You have to use... ...to make the speech that I was...
Well, so I bet it'll come back to you. All right, now, so you don't... Peter, you don't want to say anything?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. All right. Then are we ready to go to Dooley? Dooley.
Yes.
Chair of the committee.
I will move resolution L, the one that's in your packets, which is what we had deferred. It no longer reflects reality, but I will move it because that's what's in the packet.
Moved by Dooley, seconded by Jim.
And I would ask to refer that back to committee now.
You mean you make a motion?
I make a motion to refer this particular resolution back to GO committee.
Seconded by Pam. Discussion on referring this back to committee. Frank and then, well, Mike and then Frank. Mike had his hand up before.
For all the reasons I said before, I don't think we should refer it back. I would move at some point after this is decided, if it still stays here, to move the substitute resolution out.
Okay. Frank?
Dooley, does your referring back to committee take into consideration the no fewer than three substitutes or alterations that you've proposed for reconsideration at that level?
You mean the resolutions?
Yes.
No fewer than three?
Well,
didn't you do... Oh, I'm sorry, two.
I moved the one that's in the packet.
You moved the one that's in the packet, but then you...
Because it no longer reflects where we are, and it needs work.
So the Frank's question is the possibility of the other substitutes also being considered at committee? Is
they will be, certainly.
Okay. That's what I want to know. Thank you.
Okay. Carol.
I agree with sending it back to committee. I will say that during the break, I did have occasion to talk one-on-one with Greg and learn a little bit more about exactly which blocks are switching from one place to another on some of the areas, and I actually do agree that what he's suggesting is a better version of three than the old three. I still think I like five, but I do think that it is important for us to really understand
okay,
what
this
changes
is about
are being
moving
made.
Back to committee.
Yes, yeah. I think it's important to understand the changes. I don't understand if people feel that they have made up their minds what the issue is with giving this another 2 weeks with maps that came out less than 24 hours ago. If your mind is made up, if you can save it for 2 weeks and vote then, but to be respectful for those of us who need time to look at them, I'd urge you to send it back and give us more time.
Jim?
I want to call the question on sending it back to the committee, please.
Is there a second? Frank seconds that. All in favor of calling the question on sending it back to committee? One, two. Opposed? No, you can't switch your vote. 1, 2, 3, 4. Carol, I'm sorry. You voted for sending it back to committee.
I'm against. We're calling the question.
You voted for calling the question. Now you're voting against calling the question.
Yeah, I'm voting against.
You can't discuss it. Either yes or no.
I'm voting against calling the question. Okay. If that many people have.
Do you have a count?
I was confused.
I guess there are five against. So there should be five no's, so there are so many yeses. What? Eight yeses, five no's. Question is called on sending it back to committee. All in favor of referring this resolution L and all versions of L back to committee, please raise your hand. Referring back to committee. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. A tie 30, fails.
14-member legislature.
Is that right?
It has to be 7-6.
We should have.
Let's vote again.
Vote again.
All in favor of referring this back to committee? Please raise your hand and keep it high. 1, 2, 3, 4.
What do I do now?
5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I guess it's
that's
that
right.
Corner,
that's 13.
Okay. It fails 6-7. So we now have Resolution L in front of us. Mike.
I'd like to move to substitute in your packet the possible substitute Resolution L.
The short one or the long one?
The yellow one in the packet. The one, I guess it's short.
Go over the red?
I will move the long one.
I think you have...
What? Mine is has the interlineations.
Okay, and Dooley, you... Okay, Mike, from here, you could probably see the difference. Okay.
It's the shorter one.
The shorter one is moved. Is there a second? Jim seconds that. So that's what's on the floor now. Mike, do you want to explain it?
I think it's time that we support our independent commission, send this back to the GO committee for creation of the local law based on the recommendation. And I think this does that.
And it changes basically correct the timeline that was...
Yeah. That's right. It simply says that there's been this previous meeting last night.
Okay. Dooley.
Well, I move to substitute the longer version, which has a more thorough timeline and no longer attributes it to the Government Operations Committee.
Is there a second for that? Pam moves second to substitute the other possible substitute. Discussion? Ready to vote?
On which one?
Well, we are voting to whether to substitute the longer one. I will weigh in here. I appreciate the more detailed historical record. However, I actually think it's preferable to have something that comes out of the committee, and I would vote against substituting the longer one. So,
well, this shorter one doesn't come out of committee. It can't say that.
Oh, that's true.
That's why... The long one brings us up to date chronologically and removes the Government Operations Committee.
Scratch my son. Okay. So, question is: do we move to do we substitute the longer one? Any discussion? All right. On favor. Yes.
I'd just like to point out that even the short one has lots of red on it, and that this is a lot of changes coming to us again at the last minute. So I would urge us not to do this tonight.
Leslie?
I didn't want to speak. I was voting.
I thought you had your hand up. Pam?
Well, I would urge us to follow Dooley's lead here on this resolution because it is different than what came out of GO. And I think that... that her resolution more clearly reflects what the action that we're taking.
The longer one.
Yes, right. The longer one.
I would just make it, Dooley.
I think that the longer one makes it clear that we're establishing a 14-member legislature, which is what the big change is. And it says it not only in the title, but it says it in the resolve. Mm-hmm. That wording was careful, I thought, and I hope that will be a satisfactory substitute.
I'm going to say, just jump in a second. I'll say I will support this. I think that with one caveat, I worry that it sounds a little bit pointed against the city of Ithaca, and I don't really feel a need to do that. But I think the record it's worth. Having this on the record, so I'll support this. Mike?
In the interest of moving along, I'm willing to accept it as friendly.
Thank you.
Okay, and then the seconder was Jim?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so the longer one is on the floor right now. Are we ready to vote?
So it's no longer a substitution, we're just voting on this.
This is now the topic of conversation, that's right. This is what's on the floor.
you're moving to substitute that for the motion.
Okay, so we're moving to substitute. Yes. All right.
No,
it's been accepted.
It's been accepted.
It's been accepted
as friendly.
By the interim movers of this.
Right. But Mike's motion to begin with was to substitute the shorter motion. So now you're going to move to substitute the longer motion for the original motion.
Which Dooley had moved in the first place.
Dooley had moved in the first place.
Is it friendly to Dooley?
Anything's friendly.
Okay.
We're all friends here, Barbara.
All right. Who was the seconder of the original one? Was that Jim? So, friendly to you, Jim?
Oh, absolutely.
I am
somewhat disturbed, though. Dooley taking pills in the middle of the meeting. That's not a good sign.
You just had to call her out like that.
Absolutely.
We have a long way to go tonight.
I'm not sure what's in Jim's bottle tonight.
I think everybody's friendly about having this one on the agenda, on the floor. So
call
that's what we're talking about.
I'd like to call the question.
Is there a second to calling the question? Brian calls a second that. All in favor of calling the question on this revised resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 3. Well, okay. That carries 10-3. So we're now voting on this substitute resolution L. All in favor of
the roll
resolution?
Call, please.
Roll call.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAfee?
No.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
No.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
10 ayes, 3 noes.
I didn't hear the call.
10 yes, 3 against. I want to take this moment. I think applause is in order for the commission.
Applause.
I really appreciate it. I mean, even sitting here. Thank you all so very much. And again, this will stimulate us to have a local law, and we'll go to public hearing, which we'll have more discussion and hear from the public. Thank you so very much, Hank. Go get him in Albany, and we appreciate all of your work. Dooley, I have a quick question from your report, and then I'd like to get to the other items that people are waiting for. The foreclosure report. There's nothing on our agenda here. Is there something that, does that come to the full legislature or not?
No.
No. So was there action of the committee that you can report on? Would you mind reporting on that? Because Jim's still waiting. Would you report on that part of your meeting?
Yes, but I have to say I got to that meeting late and Pam ran the meeting.
Okay.
So would you like to do the report?
I guess I can say something.
Jim was at the meeting.
So they had the planning department had several pieces of property that they did not want to have put up for sale. And so we agreed with a couple of theirs. One of them was 1284 Gigantic Boulevard. I mean, if you want me to give you more detail on it.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
I would like to go through it.
Okay.
Please.
All right.
Thank you.
So 1284 Gigantic Boulevard is a parcel in the town of Ulysses. It's located between the Black Diamond Trail and Gigantic Boulevard, just north of Paris City Road. The parcel has the potential to provide additional buffer opportunities to the developing Black Diamond Trail. So that one was approved, was pulled. And the it's possible that the New York State Park System will buy that.
Wow. When it has money.
Well, I don't want to say that because they'll never have money. Okay, Brooktondale Road, this is in the town of Caroline. This is small residential vacant land that sits next to the intersection of Brooktondale and Valley Roads on the north bank of Six Mile Creek. The parcel runs along 170 feet of Six Mile Creek, falls within the 100-year floodplain, and abuts the county right-of-way near a bridge over Six Mile Creek. Based on the input from the County Highway Division, the Planning Department recommends that the Government Operations Committee retain this parcel to support abutting county infrastructures.
Good move.
So that was the second one. And then the third one that we are directly pulling is 980 Dryden Road. It's the one that the gentleman spoke about in Varna. On the corner of Freeze Road and Varna, Freeze Road and 366. And the town of Dryden is interested in buying this property from us because they see as making it redeveloping that particular spot because for several reasons, because the house on the property is falling down. So those things were approved to be pulled from a sale. We approved a couple to be sold, but with restrictions on them. And those ones that we approved, one of them was 733 Irish Settlement Road in the town of Dryden. It includes a recreational structure, falls within Agriculture District 1, and the Forest Lands Natural Features Focus Area. It's about 11 acres. It has 1,000 feet on a tributary of Six Mile Creek, and which is the water supply for the city, and borders the Hammond Hill State Forest. That one we approved.
Good. Madam Chair.
Let him finish.
But Pam, could you say what the restrictions are that you...
Oh, sorry. And actually, there was one more. Oh.
It's limiting the principal use to agriculture or forestry?
Yes.
And no more than one dwelling. So it's intended to preserve the soils and the agriculture use.
Okay. Thank you.
And didn't we do the one I don't think I have it marked here. The town of Enfield, did we do Halseyville Road and Blackman Hill Road?
Mm-hmm.
So we also did two more. That's right. Blackman Hill Road in the town of Caroline. It's an abandoned agricultural parcel on Blackman Hill Road. It's located in the Forest Lands area and contains a small section of the White Rock Gorge. It's a rerouted section of the Finger Lakes Trail goes across the northern corner of the property, and it helps support the Finger Lakes Trail plan for corridor protection and enhancement. So we approved that one, and then there was one more on Halseyville Road in the town of Enfield. This is an agricultural parcel. It lies just south of the border with the town of Ulysses and shares its eastern border with Finger Lakes Land Trust Lower Preserve. The entire parcel falls within the county's Agricultural District 2 and the Northwest Agricultural Resource Focus Area. About 85% of the land is considered either prime soil or soil of statewide significance. So it's really good, valuable agricultural land, and it felt to the committee that it was worth preserving that. And that was the last one.
These last three are contingent upon the deed restrictions being developed in time, and Jonathan is working on that, I think.
Although I will add, the one in Caroline, which is the one you might be the most interested, it's just an easement for the trail, for the Finger Lakes
Trail. That's the Blackman Hill one that's landlocked.
Right.
Okay, maybe further, very quickly, because you can also go back to just answer for details, Frank, and then Carol.
The one on Halseyville Road, was the restriction that it stay in farming, even though it's in the ag district?
Yeah. because it's good soil. It's very good soil.
Do these comply with the memo that Dave Squires provided?
Dave was there and at the meeting,
mm-hmm.
and he spoke on all of these. And I believe this one, There were some that he did not think that we should include, but I believe he did on this one. Dooley, am I?
Dave said he would simply disclose at auction that they are being sold with easements. With respect to the ones that were withheld completely, the one for the town of Dryden, the interest for Varna, we're expecting something in writing after the Dryden.
Right, that one, that's that
they, after they meet, which is in a couple of days,
Thursday night.
Will Jonathan address the question about the county selling property using a quitclaim deed versus a warranty deed? Because I don't know that we can do these with those restrictions on a quitclaim deed, but I think that's a Jonathan call. Not you still taking pills, do
people I know take pills with a glass of water. These are not pills.
Is this something we can do after the meeting? This is the reason it doesn't come to the legislature. This is a level of detail that is dealt with in the committee. I was just trying to accommodate the public. Carol?
I'd just like to know if there's a total value of the property or the rights that are being pulled from the auction.
I don't think that's the way they decide. I don't think anybody's figured that out.
That's why it goes to auction, but it certainly will. We have how much the taxes are owed on that.
Taxes per year or the assessed value.
No, we don't have that.
We have the assessed value for each of these parcels. Yeah. If that's what you want to know.
Yeah, I see that they're on here. I just wondered if there was a.
Okay. People can go to the packet later.
We didn't add them up.
Talk to each other later on further details. So. All right, thanks very much for the report, Pam and Dooley.
Is this the end of GO's report?
Oh, no, we have only just begun. So, but I'm looking at the audience, so I think we're... Carol, if you wouldn't mind taking up Pine Tree Road.
Pine Tree Road, okay. This is resolution... What, in your packet?
I see packet page 30. Is that the beginning of it?
Packet page 30. Is there a substitution in people's packets, a revised?
It's packet page 30 because there's a memo that goes along with it, which is 31.
There's a memo that goes along with it, but in your packets there are some revisions. Primarily, and that is the one that I will move.
Some? I just see one.
Revised as adopted by F&I committee. Is that what's in the packet?
It's J, right?
Okay.
J.
So the revised J, which came out of committee.
It came out of committee yesterday. The title, it reflects a better title. The substantive change is the amount that's in the... The third resolved, subject to New York State's commitment of $512,000 to support the project, the sum of $1,468,734 is hereby made available.
Okay, can you read the title?
The title is Authorization to Apply for Funding. That word fund should be crossed out. Via State Multimodal Program Aid to Implement Pine Tree Road Bike and Pedestrian Paths Project.
Second by last.
So move. You all know what the issues have been. The issues that we've heard about have been the traffic issues and the bridge, no bridge, the slope of the path. The issues that were on the table originally included safety, pedestrian, bike, car safety, drainage issues.
I'm going to ask you, talk about the new news, which is about the grant. People know the history, so if you could just cut to the... What's new that the committee talked about yesterday?
Okay. What this resolution does is allow us to apply for an opportunity that came up for possible state funding through the New York State Economic Development Program. information session for, which was held on June 12th. I think we only had a few days before that that we knew anything about it, and deadline for which is July 2nd. It's the multimodal program. It is specifically for this kind of money. We think we have a decent shot. The funding will allow us to be, we were going around in circles about meeting a bunch of objectives of this project. This funding would allow us to decide to implement the full project. It would allow us, going ahead with the application, would allow us to still talk about the design. If we got the funding, it would do so. We'd be able to talk about the design with greater degree of knowledge about what our actual budget is going to be. So the committee felt, although closely, 3-2, that it was worth going ahead and finding out whether we can get this funding and then fine-tuning the design. Those who voted against it, I think, did so out of a sense that this is a certain level of commitment. If we get this funding and we had the original federal funding allotted, that we were tying ourselves into a project that does involve that most likely would involve a bridge in some form or another, although our engineer told us it doesn't necessarily have to be. We could come back with other alternatives later.
Okay, I've got Peter, Will, Frank, and Pam.
Yeah, I will vote against this resolution. The reasons were said more eloquently than I could by some of the people that testified this evening, particularly Bruce Britton and Krista Bissell. I feel that we're being driven by the funding. We cannot really make a downstream decision about this. The legislation says that we are committed to follow through with the project if we get the funding. From my mind, the need for the bridge, the need to move the bridge, has never been very well justified, as far as I'm concerned. We talk about a safety hazard. We have not been presented with data that shows that it's a safety hazard. I myself, from my personal experience in that area, both walking and driving, not riding a bike, I haven't ridden a bike in a long time, makes me feel that it is not particularly a safety issue. And what's more, Bruce Britton proposed a way for accomplishing what the moving of the bridge will accomplish at much less cost, namely cleaning up the gutters and milling back the supporting members that support the bridge. That's not been considered. That's been rejected. I don't exactly know why, without looking seriously at it. The residents are concerned about increased traffic due to raising the bridge because that will allow bigger trucks to come through. I honestly don't know whether that's true or not. I'm open-minded about that, but nonetheless, I have not heard a good argument for raising the bridge. Oh, the only argument for raising the bridge given is that if we accept federal money to do this project and raise the bridge, then we have to raise the bridge. And I do not consider that to be a legitimate reason for doing it. Therefore, I support the aims of the project. Namely, the aims of the project are to have bike and pedestrian trails, off-road trails, to link East Hill Plaza with Cornell. I'm all in favor of that. I support the project to try as best we can to increase the safety, even though it hasn't been demonstrated that it's unsafe. I see no reason why we couldn't do it. I believe it is possible, we don't know as of yet whether it is or not, but I think it almost surely is possible to increase it to some degree, and perhaps even to the degree that it can be increased by moving the bridge, without moving the bridge. I'm sorry for that garbled sentence. Therefore, I do not see a compelling reason for doing it, and I have heard from so many of my constituents that live on that street that they don't want to do it. I myself am not willing to move it against their wishes, and they're not your constituents, but they are constituents. That's the way they feel, and they've made it clear to me. So that's my reason.
Will.
So I am curious about if anybody who has followed this project closely can answer some of the objections raised by Mr. Britton, specifically the cost differential, the fact that this would actually cost and cost us more.
I'd like to, Joe or Jeff or John.
Are you talking about the idea of milling back the abutments? Is that what you're talking about? That's the latest plan that I've heard from Mr. Britton.
That's his proposal.
That's his proposal, but his proposal is that if we accepted this grant, my understanding is that it would actually cost...
Cost us what?
He indicated that it would actually end up costing us more, that it was not... And I'm realizing
this grant, we will get a project of worth more than $1.4 million for $35,000 in county property taxes. I want to address an issue where people have talked about, well, just do the trails and don't do the bridge. Joe, would you address what you heard from Cornell today?
Yeah, and Peter brought this up yesterday in the meeting. I think John and I both had indicated that between the Cornell money and the town money, there's $235,000. That's probably sufficient just to do a trail. Herb Engman reminded us that you really got to check with Cornell to see if that would work for them. Would they still be willing to keep the $200,000 in for a much diminished project? The response we got back today, and it was not just a back-of-the-hand response. It was a thoughtful response saying that if the scope changed that significantly, we would have to reconsider the level of our commitment to it. So Cornell is saying that they think the best approach here is to take a run for this grant and try to do the full scope of project. And if I could just add to was it Doug that was here tonight?
Yes.
Bruce has the beard. Doug doesn't have it. Well, I have twins, so I remember these things to keep them straight. The notion that we'll spend more money if we get grant money. Keep in mind that as we were moving this project along, we were facing very difficult decisions about how to fit the project into the available amount of money that we had, and we were diminishing scope as we went along, including the slope of the trail was going to have to be a little bit higher than we wanted. There were other compromises to the project to get the scope down to a smaller amount, and we still couldn't close the budget gap. We still had a $200,000 budget gap. So we were left with a much diminished project with the available money that we had. And we were heading to a confrontation with partners about who's going to pay what, how are you going to make up this budget gap, and nobody's flush with cash. It was then that we heard about multimodal. And with multimodal, with another, we had 462. And I'll explain how we get to the 512. Now we can take that project back to full scope. We can do the trail at the slope that we had wanted to begin with. In fact, the additional $50,000 that is the difference between the two resolutions is really enhancing that scope. It's to create a dual-purpose trail so you can have bikes for the casual biker and pedestrians on the same trail. So with that, with this money, we can do the project the way we had envisioned it a few years ago and more. With that grant money, and Martha makes a key point, and with $35,000 of our own money to do it. Now, with respect to the bridge heights, and I'll try to address Peter's question on bridge height, recall that the reason the bridge is being affected is not because we want to raise the bridge, it's because you have to push the abutments back to make safe passage for bicyclists, to widen the shoulders. If you're going to widen the shoulders, our engineers have said, you have to push those abutments back. If you push the abutments back, actually one of the two, the bridge falls down because it's the length is expanded. So you have to build a new bridge. If you have to build a new bridge, now you have to comply with those federal standards. You have to raise that bridge. So that's how the project is where it is today. Numbers are higher. Scope, again, with this money, we can get it back to where we wanted it to begin with. I think the last thing I would say in this, because I know we're all tired, is that over the next few months, if you allow us to submit the grant money, we're going to have to continue with the design process to really bring design to the final point. During that period of time, we can still look at some variations on theme. So what I said to Peter yesterday was, you have to approach this grant as if we get the money, we're going to build it the way we've designed it, which means a higher bridge and all these other things, because the state wants to know, if we give you the money, you're going to build something. But I will also tell you, during this intervening period, We will have a bit of time to look at some of the alternatives that have been suggested to it. If those pan out, then it's possible that we might be able to make some of those changes. I don't want to oversell that, though. I want you to know, if we get the grant money, we may need to build it, as we have talked about with the higher bridge.
Okay. And if I may just one follow-up. You know, what we are hearing from residents along Pine Tree Road is a real concern that there's already heavy traffic and that this will make a bad situation considerably worse. Do we have anything in our power during the design process to minimize that impact or to reassure our neighbors that we will do everything possible to not greatly increase truck traffic?
Well, Carol may want to speak to that, because as a part of yesterday's meeting, there were some directives issued to us about what to do about South End, the South End of Pine Tree Road. Carol, you may want to talk about that.
I got you, Peter, but you're
okay.
In line.
Okay.
Go ahead, Carol, quickly. If you... Well, you already mentioned that memo.
Okay. I mentioned the memo. I'll point out that we have $100,000 in the design of this already, and we will have more before it's done.
In other words, we've already spent that on consultant fees.
I will also say that the traffic problems that we hear about and that we now are taking much more seriously exist already, and the trucks are already there. We looked into, or maybe our engineer can speak to this, the number of additional trucks that we anticipate. And the primary truck traffic are trucks that already fit under the bridge, and there will be additional trucks that no longer fit under the bridge but that go from the Cornell campus to Eastville Plaza. So the numbers, I didn't feel, warranted not doing the project, given that a lot of the issues that we hear about are the ones you see, what the surface will be, what the slope will be. The ones that are expensive, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The ones that you don't see, I've finally been convinced that highway projects, it's the ones you don't see. It's the drainage problems we have along that section. It's the bridge abutments that have to be fixed and probably have another useful decade or so in them, but would have to be fixed in any case. So it's that kind of thing that this will also fund.
Thank you.
Okay, Frank, Pam, Pierre, Dave, and then I'll take a turn.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Carol, okay. you just gave me a third one to ask. First, the concerns that were raised earlier this evening by the residents, and certainly the concern about the bridge, I would like to hear some explanation as to how, if the committee is going or has already addressed it, or perhaps the staff has, can someone say something about that? We heard about the intersection of Pine Tree and Route 79. The second is something that Will just asked you, about whether there be a significant difference in truck traffic. I travel that road 2, 3, or 4 times a day, and I can tell you the truck traffic will increase because certain trucks can't get under that bridge the way you just described it. They have to go around on 366. So those trucks that cannot fit under the bridge now will add. I don't know if it's significant, but I think that's why the study you've asked for, or the data, is important. And I'd like you to say something about that. The third item is we have on our agenda under 13P, as in Paul, a member file resolution by Dave, which addresses the same concern, but I think changes the number. Where the resolution that's on the floor is J.
All right, what happened with that? Let me just quickly clean that up.
Yeah, please.
The deadline for setting the agenda for this meeting was last Tuesday. The committee only met yesterday. So the committee's motion was this motion is on the agenda pending committee approval. We looked around the table and said, well, it might not get out of the committee, but it should come to the legislature. It might pass at the legislature, and the accident of who happens to be on the committee. So Dave decided to put it on as a member filed. It's essentially, it's the same resolution. The number is different because yesterday an additional idea about widening the path was accepted and an estimate of $50,000 added to the project budget. Is that right?
That's correct.
So it's the same as Dave's, but right?
I would be upgrading that to be identical, Frank, if it gets to that.
To J?
Yes.
Okay, so then that means you're going to pull your resolution?
Because
this essentially becomes your resolution.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry, Frank. What were your two questions again?
About the truck traffic and about the constituents' concerns.
Okay, Joe.
Let me see if I can speak to the trucks, although John's here and so is Jeff. We can talk about trucks. But based on what I've heard from our engineer, from our contracted engineers, and from Fernando with the MPO, the belief is that I don't want to say all, but virtually all of the truck traffic currently going through the residential portions of Pine Tree, it's already there. It's coming off of 79, Pine Tree, and down. So in terms of what would happen if that bridge is lifted, the opinions that I've heard from those sources is it would not appreciably affect truck traffic that comes through. Because most of that truck traffic in the residential side is already there. But let me just follow with that, because I think what happened in the committee yesterday is important. Yesterday, we essentially agreed that we would come back in September to F&I with a report to the committee that scoped out a study of the south end of Pine Tree that looked at the volume of traffic, speed of traffic, and so forth. So we would articulate a scope of a study. We would estimate a cost of a study. And then we would proceed with your approval to conduct a study of the south end of that road, building on some work that's already been done. We acknowledge there's been some work already done. There was another part of that directive that said, to the extent that we're going to identify money in a future capital plan for highway work, we ought to be looking at some of that money being made available for actual improvements of that road if found needed by that study. So I think what's happened is that the spotlight has been on the north end of the road near the bridge. And what's happened because of this conversation is we've moved that spotlight to the south end. We now want to follow up and do the kinds of studies that might lead to some physical, substantive improvement over the next few years there.
And, Frank, if I can just – I travel this road every day myself, so it's not my district. But the traffic is coming off of 79, getting to the light at Ellis Hollow and Pine Tree, Judge Falls. They turn right, if they're going to Cornell, they turn right and then turn left onto Game Farm and then go 366. So they're already passing the neighbors' houses. And it's not a long detour to go around the plaza and then on Game Farm. And that's actually why we have such a problem on Game Farm, with the road and the bridge there. So those are certainly not residents coming out of Ellis Hollow going over Game Farm. Those are the trucks. So neighbors are already feeling the effect of that traffic. This height of the bridge won't change that.
Okay, thank you.
Was that it? You got your questions? Okay.
Does accepting the grant commit us? I think I heard that accepting the grant does commit us to building the bridge.
It commits us to going forward and building this project. And again, right now, the approach that we've taken is one that involves lifting the bridge. And what I'm saying to the legislature is there will be a period of time between now and the pulling the trigger on what the final project is to look at some of the alternatives that we've heard about with the bridge, and we will do that.
Minor correction to that.
Okay.
It obligates us, if we get the full amount, because the other substantive change was that we added if we get a much smaller amount and have to make big compromises again in the design and what we can achieve, it allows us to revisit it.
I've got Pam, Peter, Dave, Mike, Dooley, and if there's anything left to say, I'll take a turn. Okay, Pam.
Thank you. So my understanding is that the county has already spent $100,000 on this project, and that this amount here that the Tompkins County Legislature authorizes the county to pay, in the first instance, 100% of the of the federal and non-federal share for cost of design, et cetera. And that's $35,000?
No, this is that part of the resolution is very traditional. So for federally funded projects these days, the county always spends the first dollar. So we spend the money. We then bill the federal and state governments. They reimburse us, and that's the way it works. The state's saying you will follow that. That's traditional practice.
Okay, so I'm understanding that we will have no money into this project?
No, by the time we're done, the way this shakes out, we will have been left with the $35,000 county cost.
Okay. Okay, well, I agree with basically what Peter has said, and I don't want to repeat everything that he said, but I cannot support this resolution to go forward. We're giving away too much here without, and I'm just not in a position to support this project when the people who live in the area are so much opposed to it.
Joe, the $100,000 that we've already paid Barton LeJudas, if the project is completed, that gets reimbursed, right?
Yes.
If it's not completed, then
it's hard to get it back. I won't say it's impossible because we can, in a final design report, we can say we just couldn't make this work. I think it's called the null approach, okay. In which case the feds might reimburse us some of that, but it's a hard lift.
Okay. Peter.
Yeah, just to answer a lot of things that have gotten said since the last time I spoke. To my understanding, we have never looked seriously about a project, this project, without raising the bridge.
Right.
We have never looked at that. We don't really understand exactly how much it would cost if we didn't raise the bridge. And we have not looked seriously at the things that Doug Britton said could make wider shoulders without incurring a great deal of cost. So that's never been examined. Likewise, we have never seriously tried to measure how many trucks there are going to come through if we do raise the bridge. We hardly need a study. We have a bunch of experts. Martha is an expert and doesn't think that there will be additional traffic under the bridge. John doesn't think there'll be additional traffic under the bridge. I frankly, in my heart, I'm not sure there'll be additional traffic under the bridge, but I'm not willing to say so because I don't know, and neither does Martha, and neither does John. I attempted, with John's help, to make a study of this, which would have given set of numbers as to what happened, and then we would understand how serious the problem is. That didn't work because of the equipment that we have, but we abandoned the effort. So we have no idea how much that traffic will change if we raise the bridge, and any kind of data that any engineer would consider to be a reliable estimate. I believe that the notion of spending good money after bad, or the notion of saying we can't let go of $300,000 or $1 million, whatever it is, of federal money, is not the right way to think about spending. I think that we should think about what we get for it. The idea that we have decisions to make down the road, I don't believe that's true with regard to raising the bridge. With regard to our new offer to look at the South End, I don't know why we haven't looked at the South End before. I've been with this problem, with these people, for 3 years, and I talked to the highway division. They said there's nothing you can do. It's an arterial highway. The people are concerned about the speed and the number of traffic, and there's no way you're going to change that without building another road, and we're not building another road. And I think that the promise of looking for trying to make those people feel better at this point by saying we'll do a study of what we can do, my experience is that there's nothing we can do. If indeed there is additional truck traffic that comes through because of raising this bridge, then that will deteriorate their quality of life. And I have not seen any data that says that that's not true. Likewise for the safety issue. I have not seen any disinterested analysis that says that the safety cannot, that substantially what we want to do cannot be done without raising the bridge. Doug Britton has shown nice pictures of 5-foot shoulders which are now full of stones and weeds that are growing, which you can't walk on and can't ride a bicycle on. And the amount that you can walk on is like 6 inches now. And there's 5 feet till the abutment. And I think it's really possible that you could grind back those things. And no, the bridge isn't going to fall down. That was a bridge that was built to carry locomotives and old-fashioned big heavy trains, and it doesn't carry that anymore. It carries the people around this table. So it's not at all clear to me that you couldn't mill back a foot, maybe 2 feet, of those abutments there and get that space back for shoulders. And I think all of those questions could be analyzed and should have been analyzed in the past and haven't been.
I have Dave, Mike, Dooley, and then me.
Okay. Just like to touch on a couple of things about the bridge. One is it would be repositioned if it were to be replaced. And the far end would be further up the hill from the position that it's in now, therefore affording a smaller slope between there and the print shop, which is somewhere around 10% right now. It's pretty steep. It really requires platforms. And just so people know, the change that was made was that from the bridge towards East Hill Plaza, the trail would be 8 foot wide so that it could accommodate both bicycles and pedestrians and be also easier for the town to clean in the wintertime. They could plow it with a pickup truck instead of having to get in there with garden tractors or snowmobiles, or snow throwers, I'm sorry. So, and I think it would be pretty darn near impossible to estimate the number of increased trucks on Pine Tree Road. I think you're going to have to go to where the people either go to Cornell or where they turn off the road to get a survey and find out how many of those people would go the other way if they had a choice. So.
Mike?
2 points. In response to what some of the things Peter said, if we're concerned that there haven't been enough study about the truck traffic to be able to make comments like we can mill back the abutment here, I don't think you could even begin to look at that without having a major engineering study of what would happen. These abutments were built for a reason, and the length of the bridge, as was said before, has to do with those abutments and where the pressure points are, where the weight of the bridge and the traffic on it come down. The other thing that was mentioned was, you know, we shouldn't be chasing the money. Well, sometimes we go for and do projects because there is grant money available out there that in the end saves us money. Maybe it's not the year we would have wanted to do it. Maybe we would have rather had done something else. But the grant money does drive it. And I don't think there's an elected official that I know of that hasn't been out there talking to their constituents saying, I'm going to try to keep your property taxes down. And one of the ways I'm going to try to do that is to help look for grant funding that will support projects that we have to have. And I think going for the grant here makes a lot of sense.
Okay, I've got Dooley and then me.
The MPO met this afternoon, and we heard from Bill Gray about what a neat job one of the staff people, Tom Somm, does in analyzing traffic accident reports, and he is devising a way to compare stretches of road and intersections vis-a-vis their accident rates. And an example given was that in the city, Route 13 has the highest number of accidents. But when you divide the number of accidents by the amount of traffic, it's a very safe road, relatively. So I thought there's no reason not to ask him, now that he's back in town, to look at Pine Tree Road, not just the less than 1 mile length that the project takes, but all the way from 366 to 79, and to update all the traffic accident data available and to analyze it accordingly. So I hope that that will be available soon. At F&I, I took the position that I had heard so much from residents about the desirability of having a trail that would accommodate non-professional cyclists and pedestrians, that making a wider trail, which Dave just described, seemed crucial to me. And I had asked earlier to have that as an option looked at, but that hadn't yet happened. So I was very pleased that F&I agreed that if there were enough of us who thought that was an important possible component of the project, that that get added, and that accounted for, as Joe said, an additional $50,000 for this grant application. But the thing that really makes me very uneasy with all of this is that I have no idea what the design report is going to look like that will be referred to in the application. I have no idea what will be the design report at the end of this summer's study. And I share Peter's passionate defense of the existing bridge. It seems as though it should not be necessary to move it or deconstruct it or relocate it. But until I can't see what the grant application is going to look like because it hasn't been written. So I don't know how the project is going to be described. All I could look at was the September 2010 draft design report, which led off saying that number one project objective is the bridge and to raise the height and make the clearance better. And they were talking about height clearance, not width clearance, I think. So until that gets rewritten, I don't feel comfortable saying I will definitely support whatever comes. So I was one of the two no votes at F&I, although I think that the approach contains some better elements now.
The issue of the design report, I asked John about that, and the grant was written in 2008. He said, and he pasted into that long email, and I guess I don't know whether you saw it, but a long email with your questions, pasted in a long section that had all the objectives, and there were safety and pedestrians. And
I've read that.
Yes, and that was our statement of the purposes of the project. And at the very end, the last one said an ancillary benefit would be able to raise a bridge. Let me finish. I checked with John. I said, what was the design report? He said, well, that was from Barton and LaJudas. Mm-hmm. And he wrote back. John, why don't you come and explain?
Well, no, I know that John had criticisms of their report.
And so that's not been accepted by us. That was B&L's report. Mm-hmm. John criticized it and said those are not the objectives in the order that we had them. He didn't ask them to revise it yet because that was more engineering money to sink into something we weren't sure we were doing. So he has made the case informally and on paper that raising the bridge is the last objective, is an ancillary objective of doing the other things.
And is that how it will be described in
yes.
the grant application?
Well, yeah, I mean,
I haven't seen that yet.
Joe, you've got a draft. I mean, do you want to talk
about it? Yeah, we're drafting it, and I don't want this. It's really good, Mike. I don't want to read it from memory to you. We will certainly be sharing this with F&I and the legislature as we go along. So you'll be able to see the way the grant is being developed. We need your approval tonight because the deadline for submission is July 2nd. This is the last time you meet until then. But in terms of being able to take a look at the application before it goes in, there's no problem there. As designs are developed, we'll certainly share that. So,
I was trying to explain why I voted against it.
Okay, briefly. And then Dave had his hand up and Mike. Okay. As I said, I drive there every day. The idea of milling the stones seems inconceivable to me, that you could carve away enough that would actually make a perceptible difference in it. Because it's not the width of the shoulder, it's the perception of that wall that's right there.
That's what makes them slow down.
It makes people not go there. And for people who care about sustainability and getting people out of their cars, this is one way. This is a huge benefit. This will be a huge asset that will encourage people to get out of their cars. And I actually think when it's done, people go, wow, That's really nice. And I will tell you that the community we've been hearing from is not the entire community. There are many, many people who ride bikes who have told me, who have written to me and said they, you know, they, this is really a dangerous spot. We really have to deal with this. So in addition, there are our own purposes that Carol started to tell us about drainage, repairing the road. So even just fixing the drainage for $35,000, I mean, we have our own goals in here, and if we don't do this now with everybody else's money, we're going to be doing something at this on this road soon with our own money. Dave, Mike, and Carol.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something that I haven't said earlier, but I'm a professional driver, as most of you know. I drive school bus and commercial bus both, and I had occasion to drive down through there during Cornell's alumni weekend and with a bus, and there were several people walking down along there. And I want to tell you, I would not be comfortable on a snowy road with those people walking along that bridge. I'm sorry, it's just not safe.
Mike.
I'd like to call a question, please.
Second by Jim. All right, all in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 9 to 4. How many of us are here? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. That passes 9 to 4. So we are, in front of us is resolution as adopted by committee, resolution J. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Roll, I don't know if we have the roll call. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Passes 10 to 3.
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you, Carol.
Now, Martha.
Yes, Dave.
I'll withdraw my resolution.
Withdraw Dave's resolution. There we go. Good. I'm glad somebody remembered. Thank you very much. All right. Now, I know we're in the mood for something light, so I'm looking at the rest of the audience, and I think we have to go to the various move to amends. There's no break here, guys. So this goes back to Dooley, right? Isn't this Gio?
Yes. Do you remember what pages do you happen to? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I'll find it.
Packet page 35. Packet page 35.
One of them. Yours is past 36.
So we have M and
I have N. I have found 36, resolution N. Can I do that?
Well, they're in order. Don't we do them in order, Kathy? Doesn't matter. Okay, go to whatever you like.
Resolution N, proposed amendment to the Constitution of the United States in response to the Supreme Court Citizens United decision. And I'll move that.
Is there a second? Pam seconds. Resolution N.
What happened to M?
We're going back to it.
Why? Huh? Why is that?
We're using a different alphabet.
The chair gets to do that.
Okay.
I found page 36 first. I'm sorry.
Discussion?
I hope this is responsive to some of the public comments we've heard and that we can support it.
Ready to vote? All in favor, resolution N, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That passes 8 to 5.
I'd like to move resolution. Thank you, Pam. M, proposed amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
Second by Pat. Discussion. Peter.
I'd like to speak to that, if I may.
That's what we're here for. Go.
Okay.
Please use the mic.
Well, it's a little bit of a problem because I have a transparency here.
a little slide to show. So maybe I could come over to that mic.
Put a slide.
I didn't come to this meeting prepared to have this little slide, but it's Victor's slide. No, because I have two versions of it. I think everyone can see this, right?
No.
Can you see it?
No, but you can describe it.
Okay. Well, it's a Venn diagram, as Victor said. It has three circles. It has this big circle on the outside. It has a small circle on the inside. And then inside the small circle, there's a somewhat smaller circle, which in my thing is cross-hatched. And Victor described this as representing the resolutions that were there. This big one is the one that we just passed. The cross-hatched one is the one that now exists, namely the McCain-Feingold. And then there's someone that's somewhat smaller on the outside is this resolution that I'm proposing. And Victor's point was, there's no point in passing this little thing on there. We've already got this crosshatch thing, which is pretty small compared to this, so why do it? So I'd like to explain. In the first place, it's not clear what these circles represent. These circles presumably represent the problem. And I have no idea what the problem is that's associated with this big circle. Nobody talks about it in newspapers, but the one that is talked about all the time, every other day in the New York Times, is this middle-sized circle over here. Namely, the problem that's shown by this middle-sized circle is the wash of money which is coming into the political campaigns. Huge amounts of money, money that people have never seen before the like of it, just flow in day after day, and to my mind, completely corrupt the political system. That's what's over here. And what's over here outside of that, I don't really understand. But I don't want to talk about that because that's not my interest. My interest is this one over here, which I believe is now poisoning our democracy. But listen, it's already taken care of pretty much by the crosshatch thing, right? Wrong, because I'm going to show you what the thing really looks like. This is what it looks like at the moment. It's the same big circle, it's the same small circle, but in the middle is a teeny-weeny cross-hatch circle, which you don't, some of you, Martha, you probably can't see it. But that's what the McCain-Feingold thing does. McCain-Feingold has very little effect whatsoever on the money that's flowing into the campaigns. So if I believe, as I do, that they're being poisoned by all this money, the question, Victor says, why amend the Constitution? Simply pass a law extending the McCain-Feingold bill out to this circle. And so turn it off. So why bother going through the lengthy process of amending the Constitution? Because that's fundamentally wrong, what he said. It's fundamentally wrong, having almost nothing to do with Citizens United, that long ago the Supreme Court has said that this white circle over here is sacrosanct, is that the U.S. Constitution, the free speech of the U.S. Constitution, forbids us from outlawing the money that's flowing in this circle here. It doesn't forbid us from what's done in the McCain-Feingold bill, but what the McCain-Feingold bill can do is very limited. Let me explain what's going on. All the people are talking about corporations, but the problem that I see, the money that is flowing into politics and distorting the whole democratic process, has got nothing to do with corporations. I'm not defending the Citizens United decision, but the fact of the matter is that has very little to do with what's going on today. As a matter of fact, if you ask how much of the money which flows into super PACs and the other kinds of things, which is where all the big money is today, comes from corporations, you'd be shocked to know that the Fortune 500 provides 1% of the money that flows into super PACs. It's negligible. The vast amount of money that is flowing into the super PAC is from rich people. And rich people have a right to have their ads, which attack Obama or attack...
Romney.
Romney, thank you very much, which attack Romney. That wasn't meant to be funny. It's a problem that comes with age. You can't pick up a word. That attack Romney or attack Ron Paul or attack Gingrich or so forth, all of that money essentially came from very rich people or somewhat rich people that banded together to do it. And there is only one solution to that problem. One solution to that problem is to amend the Constitution to write up front, say, that it denies free speech, because it does deny free speech. It denies free speech to those people who do the third-party advertising today, which is where most of the money comes from, and to say that you can't do that at the time of an election. So that's essentially what my resolution does. It's simple. It faces the fact that it isn't saying, no, corporations aren't people, only people are people. It's the people with the money who are contributing everything that's in this circle. Now, I think that this resolution hasn't got a ghost of a chance of passing. But neither does this one over here, this big one. This big one is solving a problem that I think is very dubious as to whether the problem actually exists. People that argue for this big circle argue based on the little circle. They say we have to have this big circle so we can get rid of this spending in elections, but you can get rid of the spending in the elections without getting rid of this big circle and all of the defenders that has. I'm not going to spend the time going into what that is, but that's the whole structure of American laws which has given corporations certain rights, and they're not only the free speech rights. Those aren't important. There's other rights. I'm not going to go into that. Now, I think that the possibility of passing this big thing is almost zero, because the whole corporate system will be united against it. People will say it will make the economy collapse, and I am not convinced by the answers that I've gotten. But one thing I know is that there's not a lot of people out here who want that. The only thing we could possibly coalesce around is the problem that we recognize, which is in the newspapers day after day after day, about the huge amount of money that are raised on both sides of the aisle to do that, and that makes me sick, and that's why I'm proposing this resolution to do that. So it's simple. That's all it is. Thank you.
Will?
Well, that was impressive, Peter.
Thank you.
I'm curious as to where you got the information on the amount of money that is going from corporations into super PACs.
That piece of information came from a talk that I heard at Cornell by Floyd Abrams, who I'm told, I don't know, it's not my business, okay, so I don't know it, but I was told that Floyd Abrams is the most distinguished First Amendment lawyer in the United States. He gave a talk at Cornell for an hour and a half, which I found extremely instructive, entitled What's Wrong with a Citizens United Decision? And that's where that 1% number came from. Now, in all honesty, I should say there's another 12%, which comes from corporations which aren't Fortune 500 corporations, and that probably means not-for-profits, small businesses, although I doubt it.
Okay, Peter, I needed a quick answer. Okay.
I'm looking at the clock. I understand that nobody really wants to spend a lot of time debating this. I agree with you, Peter, that the problem is, in fact, the money. And unfortunately, I think your resolution, though I credit you with giving an enormous thought and attempt to fashion something that made sense, I don't think it truly addresses that. There is money coming from corporations, certainly, but as you point out, there is money, vast money coming from very wealthy people. There are people self-funding campaigns. In my perfect world, none of that would be allowed. The campaigns would be publicly financed, that access to media would be a condition of granting licensures, and that we would essentially be getting the money out of the politics. Do either of these have any chance of moving forward? That is yet to be determined. What we're doing tonight, what we have been doing for several months, is forcing ourselves to think a little bit about it at the only level where this is being seriously discussed. It is happening at local levels. It's happening in a few states. And I really know that all of you are probably ready to move on and talk about other things. So I will stop talking and hope that we can vote.
Carolyn Frank.
Yeah, I was hoping also that we could not debate this, but just vote our conscience on this and then move on to other business. I do wonder, and I'm willing to support it, I do wonder, Peter, if you would consider it friendly to add to your list of where you're limiting the broadcast and cable advertisements to add internet and other new media as well.
You know, I thought about that, Carol, and the reason I didn't put in internet is internet is fundamentally different because basically it's free. There isn't a lot of money that goes into internet advertising. I mean, not advertising, but into the ability to send. It's very, very cheap to be able to send to large numbers of people. And frankly, I think the internet itself has got a balancing effect.
Okay,
on
so
it.
The answer is no. You don't. It's not
the
a
answer
friendly
is no. I don't think it's. I don't think it's part of the problem.
Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not going to debate one way or the other. I just want to make an observation. Based on what Will described about leveling the playing field and being fair so that everything was received in equal dollar amounts, just an observation. Earlier this evening, Peter gave us a discourse on the Ithaca Journal article where George Will spoke about the schools in Maryland. It really wasn't an indictment of the teachers. It was an observation on how school elections were held in that school, and it orchestrated what one could put on signs, how much one could spend, and it even, because of the type of individual that goes to that school, this type of student, there were certain legs up, if you will, if a parent was associated with a Washington bureau that had access to all kinds of information.
Okay, that's related to this how?
I just wanted to observe that Will was really debating or could debate Peter's observation on that article, but about leveling the playing field. Some of us are listening to each other, so I mean, isn't that scary?
Okay. I would like to say that if we had had half the energy that went into these resolutions go into organizing a public meeting for the public to come to and hear about the issues and talk about it and be covered by the press, we'd probably all be a little closer to getting any of this passed. So I hope some of the initiative that's behind this will go into doing that sort of thing.
May I call a question?
No, because I think we're all done. Anybody else? Let's vote, right? Okay. All in favor of Resolution M, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed. 1, 2, 3. Passes 10-3. Okay. Anybody know where we are?
Resolution E, go back to planning, development, and environmental.
Yeah, right. We're going back to PDEC. All right. Members of the public, thank you very much for bringing this and your concerns to us. Go out and educate the rest of you. Thank you. Will Burbank, Chair, Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry, you left GO. I have to say when our next meeting is.
Okay.
Thank you. We did not have a meeting on the 8th of this month. Our next meeting is Thursday of this week in 2 days at 9:30.
So that qualifies as your report?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Julie. That's why I really didn't know where we were, so... All right, Willie.
Thank you.
Ready to go?
So I was prepared to give a lengthy report on the doings of our last meeting. I will spare you, given the hour, only pointing out one thing that we did talk about, which was the new strategic planning plan that is now out and available to be seen and commented on.
It's for tourism,
the
right?
Tourism plan. Thank you. And you can, if you want to get it easily, you can go to our website, and right up there on the front, under tourism funding, you just click on it, and you quickly get there. And we can, they will be accepting comments until July 16th, I believe it is. So take a look, and that's good. And we do have two resolutions. Resolution E is approval of the bylaws of Tompkins County Strategic Tourism Planning Board, and I so move.
Second by Carol. Any discussion? Or second by Dooley. All right, second by Dooley. Okay, Carol?
Fine.
Any discussion? Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you, folks. They will be very heartened to know that, that this is finally done. And before I go on to the next one, I gave you a wrong date. The comments for the on the tourism plan update will be closed at the beginning of Monday, July 9th. Secondly, we have Resolution F. This is authorizing a public hearing for Local Law C of 2012, a local law to prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species in Tompkins County. And I'm going to move it and then explain a little bit about the process, because I know you'll have some questions.
Second by Frank.
Thank you. So the committee, this is essentially a local law that would give us the power to finally have some ability to control any form of invasive plant or animal getting into our waterway. This essentially certainly doesn't exist at the local level. It doesn't exist most places in New York State. Assistant Attorney Steve Flash drafted a proposal. It's been through committee. It's gone through the Water Resources Council and the EMC and we've accepted their comments. Because there's going to be an enforcement component, it was very, very important that this also go through public safety. They at their last meeting, and Peter, correct me if I'm saying anything wrong, felt there were some issues. They wanted to have the sheriff weigh in on it. Okay, thank you. But I just wanted to say that what we're doing tonight is setting a public hearing for our next meeting. And it's my understanding there will be a meeting to discuss some of the issues by public safety before then. And there may be some change in the actual language of the law, but we feel that we can move forward in the public hearing and we can meet the timeline on that.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Ready to vote. Resolution F, please raise your hand. If in favor, raise your hand. Opposed. That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it.
My report.
Yes, Kathy.
Oh, and sir, one last thing. Our next meeting would normally be on July 4th, and we wisely have moved it a week later. It'll be on July 11th.
Kathy?
Well, can I ask a question? Is the intent to adopt the law on July 3rd?
No. It's to hold a public hearing.
Okay, because local law needs to be on just 7 days in advance of adoption.
Correct.
Which would be Monday, the 25th, if you were planning on adopting it July 3rd.
It might get adopted.
Yeah.
I was just looking
if
for
the
direction
correction
that
or
was
change.
Right.
In it. Was,
right.
Was the intent, you know, I would put it on desk Monday.
So.
Peter, when is your public safety meeting?
July 2nd.
Wait, I'm just checking to make sure I've got it right. I don't want to say it wrong.
You moved it because of the holiday, too,
moved
right?
It because July of the holiday. I'll tell you in a second, okay?
Kathy's saying July 2nd.
July 2nd, okay. Thank you, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. So, however, if in other words, before the legislature meets again, public safety meets. However, that will be after the deadline for any changes to the local law.
Correct.
Okay.
So I was anticipating that we would actually be having the hearing and then adopting at the next meeting.
The 17th?
The 17th.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's okay?
That's fine. Yeah. All right. Just the law needs to be on desk 7 days in advance.
Okay. Before we adopt it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Good. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes. Thank you, Martha. As Will mentioned, I too have been planning a bit longer report than the comments that I'm going to make given the time tonight, so I will just mention a couple things. The Broadband Committee met a week early this month, so we did meet yesterday, and we had a fairly lengthy meeting, very, very good discussion. We are continuing to talk about developing the RFP, which has arisen out of the discussions we've had within the committee and also with Joe and Martha and Jonathan. We had originally been talking about doing an RFI. That has evolved now into beginning to work on an RFP that would help to take the recommendations that were made to this body in January and move to the next stage of implementation. And I hope to be able to give you more details about that in the very near future, but I think it's a little late tonight to go into the details. We've had people from the committee that have traveled to Cooperstown to take part in a roundtable on rural broadband. They thought that that was very valuable, the time that they spent going out there. Some of us went up to Cornell to take part in the Southern Tier Regional Economic Development Council workshop that was put on, thanks to Martha's work to bring it here to Tompkins County. And both of those have been very helpful to our thinking in how to move ahead on looking for grant funding for part of the cost for this project. And as a result of both that that workshop we attended at Cornell, as well as our conversations after that workshop, I believe that we are going to hold off on submitting an application to the Southern Tier Regional Economic Development Council during this particular round of funding. It's pretty clear to us that the council is looking for a level of readiness for projects that we have not reached yet. They talk quite a bit about being shovel ready. And one of the things that we hope to do through the RFP process is to take where we are now and develop it into a shovel-ready project. But we feel we're not at that point yet. So I think what we're going to do is hold off until the next cycle for that funding before we submit that. We're also taking a look at revised figures for the number of unserved homes and businesses as a result of the project that's going on over in Dryden. And that project, although it's not complete, is going to take that 4,700 number, 4,700 plus number that we reported back in January, and that figure is going to decrease as a result of the project that's going on in Dryden. So I can tell you more about that the next time I report, too. I think those are probably the main points. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Pat. Frank.
Pat, at the Danby Town Board meeting Monday night, Rick Dietrich indicated that he was making a proposal to TCOG with regard to contribution funding by the TCOG participants and perhaps the county with regard to a survey or study that he was...
That's the RFP, Frank.
That is what it is?
Right. The RFP would be for the purposes of hiring a consultant to help us take the next step that we need to take. And, of course, with an RFP, if you're going to hire a consultant, there's got to be funding behind it. And so we will be looking to come to the legislature for part of the funding for that. We also are going to look to the towns that have underserved or unserved homes and businesses to see if we can get a contribution from those towns, too, to go toward that funding. And to that end, Rick and another member of our committee, Mike Pliss, are going to meet with as many of those supervisors as are available after the next TCOG meeting to talk to them about that.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much, Pat. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you very much. We'll move right along. Resolution G, a bond resolution authorizing the issuance of $350,000 serial bonds of the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay a portion of the cost of the reconstruction of the building located at 615 Willow Avenue, which is Cornell Cooperative Extension.
Are you moving the revised one in our packet? The revised?
I believe I said the revised resolution.
Seconded by Leslin. Discussion? We need 10 votes on this. We need a roll call.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
Ms. McBean-Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
12 ayes, 13 ayes, 0 noes.
All right. Very good.
Item H, amendment to the county's 2008-2012 capital program to include improvements to the building, commonly known as the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Tompkins County Building, pending. And I would move that.
Seconded by Mike. Frank?
Yeah, question. We have a Capital Programs Committee meeting tomorrow. I don't think we've discussed this at Capital Programs as it applies to the revised schedule that Ed has been developing. Is it possible that we can postpone this until we can have a discussion at the committee level?
No, from my point of view, because of the timeliness of putting the bonds out for sale, I believe. But so? Not mine.
Well, this is an amendment to proceed with the construction. It doesn't. It's not pertinent to the resolution we just passed.
Mike and then Joe.
But I think, Frank, that the difference here is where the funding is coming from to pay the bonds. Joe, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, and I was shaking my head no when you originally spoke, and I'm thinking more about it now. But this will be a net zero in terms of its effect on the county's capital plan. So it'll be debt service expenses after we float the bond, but they'll be offsetting revenues that we get from cooperative extension. So in terms of its bottom line effect on the capital plan, it will be a net zero throughout the life of this. Could you delay this and bring it to committee? As long as that doesn't affect the borrowing schedule, I don't frankly think it does. But again, I want to impress on everyone, the effect on that capital plan will be zero.
And we have other projects like that where we carry money, FoodNet and TCA.
TCA Action.
But to add it to the capital program, I understand what Frank is saying.
But it's not. I mean, we are way below any kind of borrowing limit, so it's not an issue that we're bumping up against.
With all due respect to Mike and Joe, the committee that is responsible for the capital plan hasn't even looked at this.
Point of information, this did come through F&I as a facilities project. So this resolution passed at F&I.
Oh, that's wonderful. F&I is not
bring
capital program.
From budget, but I can bring it from F&I if you'd be happier with it coming through a program.
No, I think the Budget Committee is responsible for the capital program. It's budget, capital, and personnel. And sort of a plus that it went through facilities. Frank, the Capital Plan Review Committee is a special committee. It's not a standing committee. And I think for a variety of reasons, it would be really redundant to have it also go through CPR. It's gone through at a program level with facilities and a finance level with budget, if that's okay. Anyone else? Julie.
Well, CPR is meeting, and I guess I would appreciate it if Mike would put this on. We could add this to the agenda so that at least we can act on it, even if it's late. It seems foolish not to have CPR action on something you're adding to the capital program.
I would certainly have no objection to discussing it, but I certainly wouldn't want to not vote on it tonight.
I think we really have to inhibit multiple committees talking about things for the sake of talking about it. It's being reviewed. It's been reviewed thoroughly. I think it's great to discuss it, as Mike said. I agree. But the vote doesn't need to go through CPR. That said, if somebody wants to make a motion. Frank?
I'll move to table this until the Capital Programs Committee has an opportunity to review it and vote on it and bring it back at the next legislative meeting.
Second by Pam. All in favor?
Oh, wait. Discussion?
There's no discussion.
I think we know what we're talking about here. I think we've said are we ready to vote? What's to talk about? All in favor of postponing this until the next legislative meeting? Please raise your hand. Four opposed? That would be nine.
God bless you.
Nine, that fails 4-9. All right, we're ready to vote on Resolution H. Carol?
Yeah, I really do feel compelled to say that the reason that I can support this, even though I'm on the Capital Plan Review Committee, and is that the cooperative extension is going to be covering the payments through to us.
This is not our project.
So it's not. It doesn't change our own payments in the capital plan.
All right. We need 10 votes on this one. All in favor of Resolution H, please raise your hand.
Which is H?
Wait. What, Dylan?
I'm sorry. What?
27. Packet page 27. Please raise your hand. There's no revised, right? 1, 2, 3. What? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed. That passes 12-1. Jim, you have. this is pretty funny. The next one.
Item C, adoption of local law number B of 2012, a local law overriding tax levy tax limit for fiscal year 2013. I would move that.
Second by Dooley. Is that the revised? Wait.
Right.
The revised. Okay. So, of all things that we've talked about, we haven't said a word about this. The public hasn't said a word about this. It's really pretty interesting. Okay. We had a public hearing. Nobody came.
Please don't encourage it.
Did you have a public hearing?
Yeah. Peter and Pam?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a brief statement before voting on this.
Real brief?
Huh?
Really brief?
Well, briefer than most of my statements, but I'm not sure. Really.
Use the back microphone. I liked it so much better.
But, I think that I objected to when we put this on the agenda. I think it's too early. I think we ought to be doing this at the end of the budget cycle, not at the beginning of the budget cycle. I don't feel all that strongly about it, but that's what I feel. And I did this year the same as I did last year. I walked around my neighborhood. I mean, I didn't do it for this specially, but I walk around my neighborhood a lot. And anytime there was a person outside, I stopped them and said, "Can I have 3 minutes of your time?" They said, "To do what?" I said, "Tell you something about the legislature." They said, "Well, all right, if I have to." They weren't very enthusiastic. But I explained to them as best as I could in disinterested terms, what was going on, what we were doing. I told them what I thought it would be if we passed the tax cap, what I thought it would be if we didn't, and how much difference it would make to them and their house. I did all the right things, Dooley. It was about $18 in county tax for the houses because I was in my neighborhood. They all are assessed at about that level. And it was overwhelming that they said to me, "No, stay within the tax cap." That's what I heard. I think you ought to vote as if you're the deciding vote. And if I were the deciding vote, I would vote for it because if it lost, then I don't believe we could bring it back up again except at the next meeting. And so I think that would be a mistake, so I'm going to vote for it. But in my heart, I'm voting against it. So
that was a pretty long, short statement, by the way.
You didn't have any trouble with that fence, did you?
Pam?
Well, I just wanted to voice my objections to our doing it now. I think it's too early. I think we have not had any reaction from the public because they are oblivious at this point. I think that later on when we are going through the budget process and considering these things, that they will be much more aware of it. And I think that we look as if we aren't taking this seriously, that we are just passing this on because we have no real intention of seriously considering staying below the cap. And maybe that's our attitude. I mean, that's not my attitude. And I don't really understand what the rush is here. I think it's unfortunate, and I think we don't look good in the long run. Next fall, we are not going to look so great if we pass this now. I don't understand why we're doing this now. So I won't vote for it.
Brian and then Jim.
I'm not sure I agree with that statement that we're not being taken seriously or not looking at this seriously in terms of meeting the our limit. Even with the recommended budget, the adjusted cap may very well fit under that, and we don't have to go to that. I for one, don't think that way, and I don't have a problem passing this now because every government entity out there should pass something like this, have to pass something like this, as a CYA all the time. So, we're putting that right out front instead of, going through our deliberations and then saying, oh, geez, it looks like we're going to do it or we might do it, so we better hurry up and do it, pass this resolution. Let's just pass it now so that, we don't get fined. It's out of the way. I see you shaking your head like we're going to get fined.
No,
we could very well get fined.
Well, if we don't do it in time, but we're pretty smart people. We can figure out that we do it before we get fined.
Okay.
Right.
We're going to do it at some point. And we're just putting that out there.
Right. I think the evidence that we are looking at the cap and the potential cap is that we put together numbers for the county administrator and departments of 2.2%, which was 0.7% under the actual cap that Tompkins County had the last budget year.
Thank you. I appreciate Dooley's extra language here to make it very explicit what the reason here, and I think that should stay in the language if this is one of those recurring resolutions. I think that helps, and it's true. We don't know what's going to happen. Anybody else? All right, ready to vote on the revised resolution? Aye. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. 10-3, that passes. Something
and
about that corner. It's really hard to see. Okay.
And the item I added to the agenda was an act to amend the tax law in relation to authorizing certain county, city, school district to impose up to a 4% rate of sale and compensating use taxes pursuant to the authority of Article 29 of such law, preserve the authority of certain counties in the city to impose such taxes at rates in excess of 4%, to repeal certain provisions of such law relating thereto. And I would move that.
And Mike seconds, and that gets the prize for the best title. So,
yeah.
All right. A description? I mean, this is going through the legislature.
Right.
It's very timely. All right. Any discussion? Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? One opposed. 12-11.
Thank you.
12-1.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for doing this.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That ends my report. the committee's report. We have a meeting Monday afternoon at 3:30.
Okay, Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. I don't think at this hour I have anything much to say. Our next meeting will be before the legislature meeting instead of after it, and I hope we'll have a lot to say.
Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie.
I had a question for Peter.
Yeah.
Resolution C, which was on the consent agenda, had us buying cars through the Onondaga County contract.
Yes.
What has replaced the Crown Victoria?
I can't hear
what you. What are you buying that's not a Crown Vic? What do you buy now?
Taurus.
A Taurus.
Thank you. I just was curious.
Jim?
Yeah, if you want to, I have an article. It was in Auto Week magazine. That they tested the new Ford Taurus, and people who came with really negative views of the Ford Taurus, their police interceptor model, they all went away with huge smiles on their face. So.
All right. Good to know. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie Mixing, Claiborne Chair.
I'm not a responsible boat owner. And since you all decided that a quarter of, I mean, you're here, so I might as well go ahead with my very long report. She said, what does boat owning have to do with it? Not a thing, Martha. Not a thing. I'm picking on Jim. Workforce Diversity Committee will meet next Wednesday. As I mentioned at a previous meeting, we will be talking with our friends and some colleagues from Seattle. I hope you all have gotten the email and have marked your calendar for the legislature department heads retreat, which will be dealing with the workplace climate survey, July 16th, 5:30 in the afternoon, and some follow-up steps from that point forward. So come prepared to discuss and decide where we're going to go next. That's my report.
Thank you, Leslie. Peter.
Yes, I'm sorry. I left something out that I should have said.
Hold on. Any questions for Leslie?
Sorry.
Yeah, but I have questions.
What?
It's late.
Peter, go ahead.
Okay. When the hydrilla thing came to public safety before, the sheriff expressed a lot of concern that he had no idea how he would enforce the law and exactly what he was required to do, what training we needed, what equipment we needed to do it. He didn't really know what was involved. And so I expressed a concern to Will that we were not ready to stand behind this, and we certainly didn't pass it without knowing that. We're having a meeting, I think it's next week, I've forgotten exactly when, where we're getting together the district attorney and the sheriff, and the sheriff now will have talked to the sheriffs in counties that have this law passed, and we'll consider exactly what we can do and then have a position to we intend to be able to make a recommendation at the next meeting of the
The 26th.
Thank you, 26th. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks very much, Peter. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll try to keep my report brief as well, but there are some items that you should be aware of. We had, as you know, we formed a small task force to deal with the wood smoke issue that's pervasive in the city, and we're going to schedule, after discussing it with Pam, who's taken the lead on help actually establishing the meetings with the colleagues in the city, I think we're going to proceed with one last meeting to see if we can bring this thing to closure. Second, a resolution that you passed very early this evening regarding a new community prescription drug discount card. Joe gave us quite a report on that, and the task force that he formed recommended that we proceed with that prescription drug card. Two representatives from the new company were there. It's called PROACT, and a postcard with the card will be going out to everyone in the county, as they described it. It's supposed to save the users quite a bit of money. We had an update from Steve Griffin from FoodNet. They gave us an alert that they're running into some problems with supplying meals simply because they believe that one of the concerns, three of the concerns, the price of gas, the price of the food, and the contributions that individuals were making to help offset the price of the food, all the lines are crossing at the wrong time, and the economy is affecting a lot of the users. The need for supplying the food and providing the meals has gone up, and it's a hot meal. They weren't asking for any reimbursement, but they or any advance, but they alerted us that, as a matter of fact, the chairman of their board, or no, the chairman of their finance committee was with us, and they gave us an early alert that they may need some financial help before the end of the year. And I remember, I think it was Martha that mentioned, don't wait until November to make that request, because it'd be good if we had it to work it into the budget requests early in the fall. A resolution that also went through tonight, we had to approve a change. Some of you will be familiar with this, the CHA. It's a different form of a license that we need with the health department in order to accommodate one of the MOMS programs that we perform. This did not go away when we disbanded the CHA, but we need to apply for a different license, and it precipitates a need in a local law because it affects a charter change that we must do. We did that earlier this evening. You probably weren't aware of it under the consent agenda. One good, really neat piece of news, Sue Dale Hall from the Child Development Council gave us a report on how they're absorbing their companion organization in Cortland County. You know, we often talk about economies of scale and trying to deliver services by joining agencies. The Tompkins County version has absorbed the Cortland County version, and they're pretty excited about the expansion. They're going to have an office based in Groton, simply because that's easier to handle those folks that are in Groton and also in Cortland County. In the interest of time, I'm not going to give you chapter and verse on that, but it was a pretty interesting proposal that she gave us. Joe, is there anything you wanted to add about the drug card?
I don't think so, Frank. It'll be a change. We currently have a drug card. It's sponsored by Caremark. There'll be a change. The vendor was selected because the discounts we can provide to folks who are generally uninsured or underinsured, who don't have access to drug benefits, the discount will be greater, and the card will be marketed very aggressively to make sure that we get the maximum impact out of it.
Next meeting of the Health Committee is July 10th. Thank you.
Yes, Julie.
Question on the prescription drug card.
Is this an exclusive agreement or is it a non-exclusive agreement?
It's exclusive.
So and it's for 5 years, and if something better came along, could we opt out of it?
I suppose we could, but I know that they're going to wind down the other card. For a while, they're afraid there might be a little confusion because both cards will still be in existence simultaneously, but the object is to wean the public off the other card.
I just didn't know the details. Thank you.
Yeah, but to answer your question, my understanding is that it is an exclusive agreement.
It is an exclusive agreement, and there could be escape clauses at the same time. I think they expect that five-year commitment because they're going to be ramping up investing in this card and so forth. So that's the expectation.
Anything else? Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
I just want to thank Steph. I gained new appreciation tonight for the fact that that our resolutions come to the chairs in bright yellow so we can pick them out of amongst all the papers on our desks. I'm going to give my report in reverse chronological order. Our next meeting is July, and I have ending with a resolution. Our next meeting is July 6th, Friday. I can't imagine we have anything left to do. Today, there was an ITCTC meeting with news about Hanshaw Road, and Joe is going to briefly tell us about the exciting news there.
It confirms what we had heard, that the federal dollars that had gone away last year have been restored. So thanks to extraordinarily hard work by folks in the regional DOT office, we can't thank enough. It looks as if we've been fully restored in terms of those lost federal dollars, which puts us on a track to begin construction in the spring of 2013.
Oh,
excellent
good.
News.
Yeah. We're renaming it Flint Drive, right?
Flint, who's the regional fellow who really worked to get this money back for us.
And then yesterday we had a special meeting at which most of what we did was the Pine Tree Road, the cooperative extension, and then we revisited a resolution that is in your pack. Actually, it's revised in your red folders. It's the authorizing a supplemental consultant agreement with CNS companies to conduct, this is just to conduct a feasibility study for terminal expansion and security improvements. That's at a cost of $162,000. It failed at committee. I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to let somebody else move it. It failed at committee 2-2 the first time around. It then passed at committee 3-1 yesterday. The issues had to do with those who supported it. It's the airport consultants are looking to get out ahead of TSA requirements, if they ever come, to expand the security area, both that you see and behind the counter for baggage. Issues had to do with whether the approved consultants, whether there was time to have bid this to additional possible takers, and then the question of supporting security improvements, these particular security improvements, before they're required to beef up, before we're required to beef up security even further by the TSA, or even just in case we might be required to implement greater security measures by the TSA. The issue had to do, for me, more with national security policy than a decision about our local airport. Bob Nicholas surprised me after the meeting by telling me that he actually agreed with me and thanked me for bringing it up and said that, you know, not to his superiors at the FAA, but among staff, there was, you know, discussion about this methodology, so, you know, he appreciated it. But it did pass committee 3-1, and I'm going to let our vice chair
yes,
move it.
I'll move the revised version of Resolution K, authorizing a supplemental consultant agreement with CNS companies to conduct a feasibility study for the terminal expansion and security improvements at Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport.
Is there a second? Second by Leslin. Ready to vote? Pam?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm going to vote against this. I think the security at Tompkins Airport is excellent. I travel through there a lot. I don't see any need to improve it, so I won't support it.
Julie?
I'd like to explain what Bob explained at committee about the equipment change. He said at the moment there are a couple of employees who rifle through your bags. This would replace that. It would be a much bigger piece of equipment, and most bags would just go through that without having to be opened. So it will be no longer out in public so much. It'll be done more behind the scenes, as he explained it. And this much improved equipment, which I've never heard of, will be free.
Okay. Carol? Yeah. As somebody who goes through bigger airports a lot, where the baggage handling and inspection happens behind the scenes, my experience has not been that having those machines replaces for everybody, the rifling through your bags.
Okay.
My bags regularly
I'm
get
pretty
rifled
sure.
through.
We're not security consultants.
And I will point out that this security equipment is not free. The local cost, the grant here, which I should also say has already been applied for, is $162,000 just for a feasibility study. The purchase of equipment will be paid for. It's very large contracts that will go to companies that produce ever new models of this kind of equipment that they then try to sell to the public sector. And so that's why I don't support it. It's not free.
Are
you
ready
have
to vote?
Pay for it locally.
The TSA comes
here.
Just a quick comment. The airport is a tub on its own bottom, and we don't pay any of the money that goes into it. It's true that our flyers pay it, but we don't as an organization. So it doesn't cost us anything to do it.
All right. Resolution K, revised. All in favor, please raise your hand.
What?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 3. Passes 9-3. Anything else, Carol?
Nope, that was it. I went in reverse chronological order. Okay. You already heard my report from our last regular
Capital Plan meeting. Review Committee, Mike Blaine, Chair.
We meet tomorrow at 3:30 at the Old Jail Conference Room.
Okay. By the way, I should have said, what?
That's my report.
Okay. I should have said before Pat left, people can always send longer reports by email or hard copy if you want to update us on stuff. You don't have to do it verbally here. You can at any time send stuff to everybody as a report from your committee. Government operations.
I appreciate their comment, but I don't want people to take
well,
it
depends,
and,
you know, do you
and
want
not, to not say anything at all, because not all of us can read it all the time.
Yeah. You want all these marathon meetings? I don't know. There's no free lunch.
Not so. A replacement. It's an option.
Well, if people don't hear it, then either. The public doesn't hear our really special reports.
It's an option, a lovely suggested
okay.
option.
Okay.
I want more email because you can always unsubscribe.
I'm so sorry. Dooley, did you have anything else on your report? Okay. So that's government operations. We have a member filed.
That's Oscar is the first one. No, over.
Yes.
Oh, that's here. Overtaken by events.
So that's withdrawn. Resolution 98, calling for an amendment. Jim Dennis.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to move this, and then I will tell you why. Calling for an amendment to the Constitution to abolish corporate personhood, and this is a motion to reconsider the resolution that we passed on June 5th, I believe. And I would move that.
Thank you. Moving to reconsider.
And okay. Let me just make a couple of comments.
Well, wait, is there a second by Mike? Yeah. Okay.
Point of information? I'm sorry, Jim. I just have a question, okay?
Sure.
I thought that a resolution, when someone had to vote against it in order to bring it back.
No, it's the other way.
No, on the winning side.
Okay, it's the other way around. And I always get that confused. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
And I thought at the time that I didn't want to vote for it, but it turns out I was lucky that I did vote for it because then I could bring it back. As is the case in Tompkins County, it happens from time to time when we get involved in resolutions that are virtually have nothing to do with either the budget or anything else that we're doing that generally affects our taxpayers in a significant way right away. This whole thing got into the email stream, and there were some really lovely and unkind emails, but I thought it was interesting that one of our former colleagues, Dick Booth, who is a lawyer, I believe an environmental lawyer, wrote to us all and made some comments about this particular resolution that we passed last time, 98, I guess it is. And then Vincent, who I'm sorry has left now, decided to call
Victor.
Victor decided to refer to Dick Booth as a fear monger. And that just, and you know, just encouraged me to bring this resolution up because I clearly want to be on the side of Dick Booth and fear mongering. And unfortunately, what happens when we do these resolutions, people like that who are single issue people who want to deal with the, and I'm sorry he's not here, who want to deal with these kinds of things, immediately move to the insult area and it takes away all the real thought of the whole thing that they may have behind, because if you don't agree with them, they're going to throw you under the bus. And unfortunately, that's what I think happened. As the stream carried on, it got worse and worse, and I was really disappointed in Victor, Vincent, whoever it was. And that's why I brought this resolution. I just want the opportunity to vote against it one more time and actually make the correct vote on it that I should have made the first time around.
Are we going to discuss it? All right, I guess we are. Peter, then Carol.
Okay, Jim, I agree. I'm against that resolution. I think that effectively it's quite similar to what we passed tonight. That is Will and Dooley's resolution. I don't support either of them, but somehow I think it's sort of bad practice when the person who moved it isn't here to vote it down without. It just doesn't feel right. So that's why I'm going to vote against you, although I agree with what you say. I don't think it was. I don't think I would have voted for it had I been here.
Carolyn and Leslie.
A lot of the reason that I gave the comments that I did to the public was about tone and respect for each other's positions and opinions had to do not only with what we heard tonight about several issues that was kind of, I thought were kind of tones that were less than respectful of each other and each other's positions, whether it was Pine Tree Road and whether, you know, that we don't know what we're doing, or this one. And I found the tones of the emails on both sides of this issue less than respectful of what we had done and each other's positions. So none of us, Dick Booth is not a constitutional lawyer. I love Dick dearly, but he's not a constitutional lawyer. None of us are. I truly believe that this issue is going to be, all we can do is weigh in, and the actual wording of an amendment to a Constitution of the United States, should it ever come, is going to be wording that is hashed out after many, many, many of these resolutions across the country. It will be hashed out by constitutional lawyers who will go through every word. And I don't think we can rewrite it on the floor here. I don't think that the emails on either side, you know, did it. And so I would just urge us to leave stand what we did. And those of us who supported it before, just support it.
Leslie and then Frank.
Carol, thank you for my new phrase. I will urge us to leave stand what we did. Jim, I cannot support you on this. I remember at our last committee meeting, we talked about the three possible such resolutions, some addressing longer, more issues, not more issues, but addressing the issue in a longer fashion, some in shorter fashion, and many of us said we'll support all three because they were just getting to the issue that we cared about and we wanted to support. And that's why that one came to the floor with the full support of the members of WDAC that included several legislators and other committees and other community members. And so I'm hoping that we can just leave it stand as it is. We also have the other two that have gone forward with full support as well.
Frank and then Brian.
Thank you, Martha. Jim, I have just a question on procedure. The motion on the floor is a motion to reconsider.
Right.
And then if the motion to reconsider passes, then we will get to vote again on
the main motion.
Thank you.
Brian?
I just took note of what Jim said. Obviously, it's something that I said right from the beginning of these discussions, having to do with is this the proper forum for this? And you know, again, as you say, Carol, we have differing opinions and so on and so forth, and that's all fine. The thing that I did not appreciate, and we don't have much control over it, is, you know, that's great that you have folks from the public that speak very passionately about a topic. But when you issue threats to people over something like that, I wished I had had a second to speak to him about that. I don't think there's a place anywhere in government for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and I will say, I can't remember whether I copied all of you, but if I saw that, I wrote back to them and just said, please, that's not helpful at all. And I didn't address the substance, but I just added one more email to the stream. Anyone else? Leslie?
Brian, I hear what you're saying, and we can always, I appreciate your comment, Martha, tell people that, you know, it's not helpful at all, but our citizens who elected us and put us here, do have sometimes have a lot to say. They're passionate about issues. Goodness knows that if I considered all of the what I consider threats that I receive as an elected member of this body, I wouldn't be here. People are passionate about the issues, and they will say what they need to say. It does not mean that they're out to hurt somebody. They're out to ask us to, you know, just like we're passionate about it, they're passionate, can you hear my position as well? To tell somebody that it's not helpful, it's not helping us any, makes sense to me, as opposed to considering this to be such a vicious threat.
Frank?
Thanks, Martha. I wasn't going to say anything about this, but I received one of those emails, too, about threatening to circle the wagons and spend whatever it takes if I choose to run for re-election next year.
Exactly.
I know it's ridiculous. But it reminded me of a situation that, with all due respect to those of you that are around this table, Dooley may be the only person that experienced it beside me. It remind, and maybe Mike, when we were doing landfill sightings, we were at the NYSEG auditorium with our complete committee sitting up on the stage, including county staff and our attorney at that time, who was Dwyer and Dwyer out of Syracuse. And someone stood up and did threaten us. And it was not an idle threat, because Jim Mason, who was then chairman of the board, Kathy, you may remember that, got shot at in Trumansburg. So while I appreciate people getting impassioned about things, some of us look at those as you hope that nothing like that happens, and I agree with Leslie. You know, you look over your shoulder a lot because you never know who's being serious and who's just talking. Mm-hmm. But some of us went through that era, and it was a little unsettling. Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Ready to vote to reconsider? All right. So again, the vote is whether to bring this back on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to make a comment. I did not see. I was out of town. Kind of out of the loop. I also did not receive any of those emails. I would be happy if anyone wants to share any of the emails to which you're referring. I would be very happy to express the inappropriateness that I'm hearing.
You just drop it and go on.
What?
We're laughing at Brian. I'm sorry. It's not you.
Sorry.
His chair.
Sorry. I'm getting tired. I'll admit it.
Okay, so if somebody can forward.
I mean, I saw the one that emailed from Victor, but I assume you're talking, and I didn't.
The fearmonger and circle away.
But I did not read a threat.
Well, it was about
about election, right?
It was about re-election.
Okay, okay, all right.
That's not a fact. That's interested citizenry.
Okay. Well, okay, so a yes vote means right now. A yes vote means you want to have us vote on the resolution again.
Right.
A no vote means you want to leave it stand.
Right.
Okay. All in favor of the motion to reconsider, please raise your hand. 4. Opposed. Four to seven?
Yeah, Pat. That's right. Pat would vote. Oh, wait a minute. There's
no, that's not enough.
Dooley, are you voting?
Dooley, did you vote?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
to reconsider this motion.
Do it again.
I didn't see that. Okay. So it's 5-7, right? That means that it fails.
Needs 8 votes to reconsider.
Right. Well, right. Fails. So
can I just say, no, I would just advise those who have buyer's remorse about their votes to ask to put, you can ask to put a note in the minutes that you...
Speaking of the minutes, that's a good segue.
Oh, yes. That you were against it after you were for it.
Motion on the June 5th minutes. Frank moves them. Who seconds? Somebody second. Leslin seconds. Any comments? All in favor of the June 5th minutes, please raise your hand. Any opposed? 2 opposed to the June 5th minutes. Motion to adjourn. Oh, wait, we're going to have an executive session. All right. We're adjourned.